Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask them.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap, he just fell into a backup plan. So
yeah.
Let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers, and you can't hold us down. We hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did. I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Wednesday, that's right. Wednesday, August the 16th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon, Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today must have got a very powerful topic for you today. Today, we want to go back in time just a little bit. We want part three of Mastering the Mundane, the Unbitful, the Stable, the Sound. We want to talk about today, brothers and sisters, how do we establish the foundational stone? It is symbolically spoken that Jesus Christ, that Yahushua, by the Apostle Paul, when he referred to the chief cornerstone of the church in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. So we know if we look at the Helios Biblios or the Bible, And we've talking about returning back to our source, to our original frequency, our original vibration. For many people, for me, as I've learned and as I am learning, that I wasn't born thinking the way I think today. So if I go back to when I was a child, as far back as I can remember, which is like 7, 8, maybe a little, yeah, 7, 8, elementary school, first grade, I remember being taught something growing up in the old sanctified church. They had a mourner's bench. And I remember when I was a little kid, my grandmother, they would bring out this chair, and they would just sit it at the altar, and they say the doors of the church are open. And I was a little kid, and my grandmother would always look at me. And I was like, when they said the door was open, I would look back and say, what do you mean the doors of the church are open? Somebody coming in? And so I was waiting for somebody to come in. And then, when they did that, they would always look at the baddest person in the church. It was usually me. And so I'm like, why is everybody looking at me? And they said, the doors of the church are open. If anybody want to come down, and I'm like, I didn't really understand what they meant. The doors of the church are open. So today, my brothers and sisters, we want to talk about opening the doors of the church. You and I are in a unique position today that in the history of history, you are at a place right now today, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, what you're about to hear today will change your life forever. Because you are going to hear what the Christian mystics, what the magi or the Christian magicians, what was taught way in the ancient time before there was a thing called Christianity. Back before Constantine, all the way back. So you get the privilege of learning from 20 years of heartache and pain. It took me 20 years to get to this place of understanding that I'm going to share with you today so that way you can master the mundane. I remember when I did, if you go back to my original shows in 2010, 2011, I did a series called, again, The Sacred Name. And I joined an organization called the Sacred Name Movement. And I remember when I was a part of the Sacred Name Movement, and it was right around the time I had met my wife, and that was this guy, Dr. I forgot old boy's name. He was kind of a strange bird. I remember he invited me out somewhere, and I got there, and me and my wife got there, and it was supposed to be like a dinner party, and it was his wedding. Dr. Burnett, that's what his name. So Dr. Burnett gave me a book called, again, The Sacred Name of Christ, or The Sacred Name of God. And I remember going through this, and it was rough for me because I'm an extreme dude. Y'all have no idea. I mean, you have to talk to my wife, and then she could explain what it's like to live with me or live with one of my kids. Like, I am not the kind of guy to latch on to a bone. You don't want me to latch on to no bones that you got. Like, they say the pit bull's bite is, I don't know how many pressures per inch. My bite is up there with the pit bull. And inside of the Hebrew, it's called the Hebrew Roots Movement, or the HRM. It's also known as the Sacred Name Movement. 1 John chapter 4 says this. 1 John 4 says, loved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And Jesus said, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And the one thing that I used to always say, since the age of 8, this has been my prayer, and I've told you guys this many times, when I saw what was going on with my mother, I prayed one prayer. Father, I don't care what the truth is. I just want to know the truth. Don't let me be deceived, because my mother and my brain was deceived. And so all my life I've been looking for thee, not a. Thee, not a. Thee. And so the sacred namers, again, these were Torah observers. So I spent all my time studying the Torah and the sacred name movement and the names of God. And I returned back and I went back to all of the ancient texts and I went back to all of the ancient scriptures. I went through the Septuagint. I went through again the Codex Gigas. I went to the Latin Vulgate. I went to all of the ancient texts and I studied all of the different names and the sacred names of God. And there's too many to list. There are 72 names. And then I went into, and I got into the whole Jesus only, and I got into Yahushua, Jehovah, Exhovah, Yahovah, Zehovah, all of that, brother. Been there, done that, got two t-shirts. And I knew I was conflicted. Because the people said, hey, you can't find no graves. And there's proofs, and there's certain teachings on both sides of the camp that say, hey, Jesus is his name. Then there's a bunch of teachings that say Jesus ain't his name. Then there's a bunch of good stuff that say this and a bunch of stuff that say that. So people can argue and debate over this for years. And then I had an epiphany. And I prayed and I asked God, like, Father, this something's wrong, man. I need thee. Because I'm a teacher. I'm going to be held accountable. And that's when biology showed up. And it's like God drops something in my lap that says every person has the same heart regardless of their color. Cut open your chest, take out your heart, and then find a Japanese, find a Korean, find somebody from Zimbabwe, find somebody from New Zealand. I don't give a blank where you go. Find a human, take out his internal organs, put them all on a table and see if you can tell the difference between them. Biologically, we're all the same. Spiritually, we're all the same. So I really understood the Gnostics and I got into understanding the Pleroma. And it changed my life. And that allowed me to graduate. And that's when I became a Hebrew 6-1 Negro. And that's what I want to share with you today. You see, brother, in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, it says this. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. And I will make justice the line and righteousness the plumb. Now let me make sure you understand what that means, because a plumb line is the line that, you know, plumbers use and carpenters use. It tells you how to walk. Then it says in verse 17 at the end, and hail will sweep away the refuge of lies and waters will overwhelm the shelter. So Isaiah 28, verse 16 was very powerful for me back in the day when I was going through and I was wrestling with, you know, am I a Christian? What do I believe? I teach all this esoteric stuff and people tell me all the time, brother, you are anti-God, brother. You don't believe in Jesus Christ and him crucified. I never hear you teach nothing about that. And it was with me back when I was at New Life when I was teaching that. 2 years ago. So what happened, Brother Will? What happened? Well, let me tell you what happened. It's right here in Isaiah 28. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who laid as a foundation in Zion. Now, the foundation was laid in Zion. Zion is a city, and a city is a cell. The foundation is inside your blood cell. It's called the mitochondria. They call it the mDNA. Now, don't tell nobody I told you, but you got two DNA strands in your body. One comes from your mother. The other one comes from your mother and your father. So let me make sure you understand, but so if you want to chase your stone, find your mother. We live in a matriarchal society that was stolen by the patriarchals, or the pirates, or the Qatars, or the fathers, or the men. That's why every religion, they hate women and they hate sex. They demonize them too, because it's inside of the mitochondria, inside your DNA. That's inside your cell. That's not inside your DNA. So you got two sets of DNA, and I hope you don't believe me, and go look it up for yourself. So inside of the mitochondria, there's another set of DNA. That DNA traces your mother's. It traces Sophia, because Sophia left the quote-unquote pleroma and had or produced what we call mass or matter. Now, Brother Will, what does that got to do with the chief cornerstone? Well, hang on. Let me break it down for you. See, the foundation is in Zion. It is a stone. It is a tested stone. See, not every stone is tested. And then the stones, again, it talks about Lucifer. Now, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. See, because Lucifer is the tried stone. Because if you remember, Lucifer got what on his, just like the breastplate of righteousness, Lucifer is made up of what? A bunch of stones. So let me make sure you understand, because a lot of people get this mixed up. When we talk about these stones, now remember, we're talking about the chief cornerstone. We're just not talking about a bunch of stones. We're talking about the one and only stone. Now, that stone is a tried stone. It is a precious stone. It is a sure foundation. Yeah, we want that. So we want the tried stone. There's only one stone that's been tried. A lot of stones are out there, but there's only one stone that was tried. So Jesus Christ is the foundation of the stone, or the system of doctrine that we call the chief cornerstone. But the problem is the word tried. See, the word tried, T-R-I-E-D, it has three meanings in the scripture. Sometimes it means to elect or to choose something. Sometimes it means to prove or to put on something. Sometimes it means to approve something. So there's three different definitions of the one word, tried. So when we talk about Yahushua, Jesus the Christ, again, we have to understand what that means esoterically and exoterically, because he's the only one that fits the definition in all three areas. The word tried, again, has three meanings, and there's only one character in all the scriptures that fits all three definitions of the word tried. Tried means that it was something that passed a test. You it proved its worth, its value. Yahushua did that when they took him up on the mountain of Odyssey. The devil said, hey, bow down and worship me, and I will give you. He was tried. He was tested, and he passed. Sometimes it means to approve. See, Yahushua was approved of. He said that when the dove came down and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. He was approved of by the Father. See, and then sometimes the word tried means elect or chosen. He was elected by the Father. The Father could have chose anybody to express, expose, and expand himself through, but he chose. He elected. He set aside. He predestined, because in the Old Testament, you go back and you see that even John the Baptist, he said that he was a forerunner of Christ. He said, I'm going to baptize you with water, but there's one who comes after me who's going to baptize you with fire and spirit. So he was elected. So Yahushua is the only one that meets the definition of all three definitions of the one word tried. He's the tried stone. Now, I need you to understand why I'm doing today's show, because we're talking about mastering the mundane. See, my normal is abnormal. Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying, because you got to understand where I came from. How did I get to be abnormal? Was I born abnormal? So was I born with a bipolar disorder? No. So how did I get it? See, when I was a kid, what I do now, these high highs and low lows, I wasn't born that way. I was a regular dude. Now, when I say regular dude, what did I do? I was raised like everybody else. Usually in the West, you know, you go to church, you come home, you know, pretty normal. And then I got exposed to something called, this great book called, written by Hank Hanegraaff called Christianity in Crisis. And I read that book, I was like, damn, that's my life story. Now, this was like back in the 80s. Christianity, before most of you young whippersnappers were a thought form, you were still, again, a sperm in your daddy's cul-de-sac when I was going through this shizness. In the 70s and 80s, Hank Hanegraaff wrote a book called Christianity in Crisis, and he said, Christianity will come into a crisis, and this is why. He called it the faith movement, name it and claim it. And then I looked at this faithology that was found in this charismatic movement that's called the faith movement. And they told me, Brother Will, faith without works is dead, homie. And then John Albinzino, well, you know, I shouldn't say no names. Certain preachers came through town. They slapped some oil on my forehead and they said, Brother, God has called you. I said, he did? Yes. Just make a $1,000 seed and God's going to bless you, brother. So I took my rent money. I gave him the $1,000, and I was waiting for my blessing. I'm still waiting. Blessing never showed up. Craziest thing since sliced bread. But see, I wasn't born that way. I wasn't born with no damn faith movement. See, the word of faith, called a faith movement, in case y'all don't understand where I'm going with this, it's a worldwide Christian movement that teaches Christians how to access the power of faith through fear of speech. Let me see, because see, the faith movement says that if you don't have the devil going to show up and take your shizness. See, I was a part of this movement, but before that, I was a part of something called self-help. Now, the definition by itself is a antinomianism. The word that has two opposite meanings. I've got the word. But anyway, let me make sure you understand. Self-improvement. So how can you improve something that doesn't exist? Because in the book of Galatians says that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So the self-improvement movement, the self-help, I jumped on that bandwagon. Now notice what it says. In the self-help movement. It means focusing on self-improvement. Now, what's wrong with that? Absolutely nothing. But they never define the self. So I joined the self-help, and I got into, you know, all of the stuff, and no disrespect to the multi-level marketing and stuff, but I remember my upline, his name was Dexter Yeager, Amway. I remember going to these erratic, and I remember taking all my money to go to St. Louis, to go to Los Angeles, went up to freaking Nebraska so that I can go hear my upline. And my upline was a millionaire. And I was like, yeah, I want to be a millionaire. I want to be like Dexter Yeager. He came up in this big old pimped out van. I mean, not a van. It was a bus. His wife's name was Birdie, B-I-R-D-I-E. I remember that because I remember the first time I met Dexter Yeager, and he had all of these rings on his finger, and he was like, yeah. I was like, man. It's kind of like 50 in that movie, 56 movie, when he meets his dad. His dad was a pimp, and he says, 50 looks up at him, man, you like a god to me. And 50, the drug daddy dude, whatever, I think he was his biological father, too. In the movie, 56 Life Story, I think it was his life story, the dude said, boy, I am a god to you. That's how Dexter Yeager was to me. That's where my bipolar started. Because I established another pole. See, I already had a pole. I was born with my mother's mitochondria DNA. In my body. I trace back my lineage back to my father, my mother's father's father's father. His name is William Branch. He was a slave. And he started a church. He was the first, but the church still stands today. I forgot how the church is 100-something years old, barely standing. It's overgrown. Nobody keeps it up anymore. Last time I went, they buried my mother. They had a funeral in that church. Everybody in my family teaches and preaches. Everybody except for me. See, I established another pole. Let me show you, you understand what I'm saying, how you master the mundane. You were born. God, you were born. You don't go get purpose. You freaking born with purpose. The moment I stepped outside of my purpose to find my purpose, that's when I became bipolar. Now, I go to a therapist, you know, talk to a therapist. It's, you know, it's good shitness. But, you know, they can't tell me what God told me. Because I serve the God, not a version of it. When I met my wife, I knew why I met my wife. Because God told me I was going to meet my wife 5 years before I met her. Because, again, it's in my DNA. So is yours. God said he knew you in your mother's womb. He predestined you. He predestined you. So what you're looking for, stop looking. That's why I have the life optimization class. It's designed to destroy yourself. Because take the word self and turn it around, you got the word flesh. So self-improvement is flesh improvement. So let me make sure you understand what's going on, the big picture. Because people tell me all the time, well, Brother Will, man, I don't understand. I don't believe in Jesus Christ and him crucified, brother. Well, really? Well, it's funny because biologically, Jesus Christ and him crucified, I can biologically prove. Now, I got a book called The Physics, so I can prove to you mathematically the existence of Jesus Christ and him crucified. I can prove to you biologically the existence of Jesus Christ and him crucified. You got a gene inside of your body called a lamin. Now, if you take my book Christened, you're gonna see again the Hashem inside of the body. Now, let me make sure that I break this down very delicately for my non-believers. This is why people at my level do not believe in Jesus Christ. Now, when I say at my level, what does that mean? That means that my learnedness. So when I get together with all of the people, you know, the Zen Garcias, the John the Baptist, the Devin Blairs, the you know, people like your boy that got his own Bible, what's that fool's name? Damn, I forgot his name. Anyway, there's a rapper dude. So we all, my boy down in Atlanta that drinks out the gold cup, my boy Sevan, S-E-V-E-N, that is, you know, that whatever. When we hang out, you know, I've talked to all of these dudes. My boy, Brother Polite, you know, speaks what? How many names Brother Polite speaks? 13? How many wives he got? Oh, man. You ever heard of Brother Polite? Go to Google and type in Brother Polite. Yeah, I talked to these guys. I was on a boy's show down in California. I mean, down in Chicago. And me and him bumped heads. I used to be in his show all the time. He got this show. He had this book called Broke Ass, where he the one breaks down the biological effects of anal penetration over time, how it destroys the rectum. Now, all of these dudes are, quote-unquote, these are big wigs, quote-unquote, inside of the, you know, African-American black consciousness movement. And I went on the old girl show that she's a big wig now. She started off when I did, and I again forgot her name. She's still on Blog Talk. And she was talking about that the woman's vagina is God. You're supposed to worship the poo nanny. See, I've been on all of these people's shows because, see, all these people have heard, you know, I've been on, you know, Coast to Coast, you know, oh boy, that, you know, Coast, go to Google and type in Coast to Coast. Yeah, I've been on that radio show. I've been there, done that. But see, they interview me, and then they say, yeah, don't invite that thing back. Because everybody that interviews me, they don't believe in Jesus Christ and him crucified. And they listen to me, and they think I don't either until they talk to me. And when they talk to me, they are disturbed greatly. See, people reject what I teach without even freaking looking and listening to what I say. Just because I don't say the name Jesus Christ the way you do, doesn't mean that I don't understand, because I understand the Hashem that's inside of your body right now. That's the veil that was rent in an instant, revealing the holy place. It's called the Retmi. The throne where you come face to face with God. Now this is biologically speaking. Right now, as I'm speaking to you, what it says in 1 John 5:8, you can only enter the kingdom with blood and water. Or not blood and water, but water and spirit. Flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom. So you have to go through what Hebrews 10:9 talks about in order to enter into the kingdom. So Hebrews 10:19, I'm paraphrasing, but you want to look it up. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Hold up, time out. How are we going to enter in? By a new and living way. No, dead way, Brother Will. That's not what it says in Hebrews 10:19. See, I was born at night. I just wasn't born last night. Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying, brothers. Because this, again, if you can grasp your brain, I'm going somewhere. If you can wrap your brain around this, it'll transform your life. The new and living way. I don't serve a dead God from a dead book. I serve a living God that's in a living book. The living book is you. You. It's your body. It's your biology. It's what you call externally Jesus Christ, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. So Yahushua did something that has to do with a veil that was inside of his flesh. That's why he said anybody who does not believe that Jesus Christ came inside the flesh is not of God. That's what it says in John. So again, I was born at night, but I just was not born last night. And it's very important that you understand this, brothers, because this is the difference. This separates the men from the boys right here. 1 John 5:7. 1 John 5:7 says this, for therefore there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. These three are one. They bear record where? Heaven. Heaven means heave up. It means in your brain. It means to heave up. The word heave, H-E-A-V, E-N means up. Heave up is the crown chakra. So there must be three. There must be the patar. There must be a frequency. There must be the generator. The word father, Greek patar, generator. There must be the word. Now, the word is a spoken thought. There must be a frequency, a wave of vibration. And the Holy Ghost, the pneuma, the ruach. So there's three frequencies, waves of vibration. They call it string theory. But those three waves become one wave. Three waves become one. Where did I hear that before? Oh, yeah, I remember. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 3, 4:12, 5:12, somewhere in there. I'm paraphrasing. You might want to look it up. I got all this stuff memorized. See, Ecclesiastes says, one standing alone is easily defeated. Two standing back to back can conquer. A three-stranded cord is not broken. A three-stranded cord is not broken. That three-strand. It's the spirit, it's the soul, it's the body. Those three must be one. Father, Son, Spirit. The three must be one in heaven. 1 John 5:7 says that the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. And it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who? He that overcometh the world. But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. So you got water, you got blood, the Spirit comes along and it looks at it, and the Spirit says, yep, that's it. Now look at verse 7. 1 John 5:7, for these are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness earth. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. So there's a record in heaven of the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. But the record on earth is spirit, water, and blood. These three agree. So we got knuckleheads fighting and arguing on apples and oranges. What does that mean? There's different records, so different dimensions. So on earth, you got three things: spirit, water, and blood. But in heaven, you got three things totally different. You got the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. No water, no blood. So, Brother Will, what are you saying? It says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. So you guys got the witness of men. I got the witness of God. It's greater. That's what the scripture says. The witness of men is off the chain, but the witness of God is better. So I'm not debating and I'm not arguing over whether or not Jesus came in water and blood. That's earth. You can debate that while you're here on earth. But you need to understand whether Jesus Christ was the Father in the Word that manifested himself through the Holy Ghost. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you ain't got shizness. Let me make sure you understand, because y'all fighting over non-issues for me. Let me read it again. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. Those are the three things you must have. The Father, the Pater, the generator. That means there's only one frequency. If you tap into the wrong frequency, your ass in trouble. Now, that frequency manifests as the Word. Now, you can have a lot of words. Now, the Bible, I talk a lot of shitness about the Bible. Why do you think the Bible is the number one selling book every year since the beginning of time? Why do you think the Bible is still around? They tried to burn it. They tried to do everything to the Bible. It's still here. Because the Bible has something in it, not the letters, the spirit. Now, the Bible says the letters kill. The Bible itself says the letters kill. The Bible itself says that this book is an allegory. The Bible itself says that. But people, another study for another time. So what does that mean? As I talked about yesterday, when I talked about firm, fair, and consistent, the way that you be fair is you don't take the letters literally. You take the spirit behind the letter. So if I say, hey, man, I hate you, man, but I'm joking and I'm playing, don't take what I said, the letters, literally, I hate you. Because I'm joking. Like the people who like my son and all of his friends, they get together, yo, what's up, my nigga? Yo, what's up? Now, where I'm from, in my era, in my culture, yeah, you get punched in the mouth if you come up to me and say, yo, what's up, my nigga? That's not cool. But all of my son's white friends, black friends, Hispanic friends, they all get together and they call each other niggas. Now, that's cool for them because of the spirit behind the word. The word doesn't contain the same. So to master the mundane, you got to understand the spirit of the chief, cornerstone. That's the foundation. That is what we call Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ contains the spirit of the Father, and he manifests that spirit of the Father in the words of men, but is empowered by the frequency of the Holy, which means set apart, Ghost, which means G-host, God host. Host means something that entertains a foreign dignitary. In this case, you are a host that should be entertained by the G, the big G. Notice it's a capital G. So you're a host that should be entertained by a set-apart God. There's a bunch of gods, but there's one that's set apart. So if you're entertaining the wrong Holy Ghost, kiss of death. You have no power. Now, this is how you know that you got the wrong G. Because it goes on to say in verse 9, in 1 John 5:9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is even greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified to his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. So that means something that's inside of me that gives me power. Dunamis power. It's called the Holy Spirit. He says, he that believeth not God hath made himself a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave his Son. What record? The record that he wrote in heaven and in earth. One record says Father, Word, Holy Ghost. Another record says Spirit, Water, Blood. So you need the record written inside of you. There should be something inside of you that gives you power. And what is this power? You have power to trample on snakes and scorpions and all power of the enemy, and nothing said by nobody's harm you. You have something, let's go back to Isaiah 28. This is the power. If you don't got this, you're in trouble. See, I had this power. I gave it up for money. I said that I want to be self. I want self-improvement. I want faith movement. I want to name it and claim it. I want to lay hands on a car and say, in Jesus' name, I claim this car. Be in my driveway tomorrow. And I want to go home, watch TV, and wait for the car to materialize. Yeah, that didn't happen. And I kept trying it, and it just kept not happening. So the faith movement didn't work for me. Now, for some people, it worked, but it didn't work for me. So I left the faith movement. Then I went to self-help movement. And the self-improvement movement says, put forth energy, put forth effort, put an image in your brain. Imagine yourself, okay, put your Lamborghini in your head, take a picture of a Lamborghini, make a vision board, put the Lamborghini on your wall and look at it. And imagine yourself driving that Lamborghini, and it will come to you. I tried that too. That dog didn't hunt either. That didn't work. Now, for some people, it did. All I know, it didn't work for me. Why it didn't work for me? Because it's not in my DNA. See, if you're called by God, that shit just don't work for you. It took me a while to figure it out. Because I come from a line of worshipers. I come from a line of godly men and women. So let me go back to the proof that you come from a line of godly men and women. Because you'll have this. Isaiah 28 verse 16. It says, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, whoever believes will not be in haste. Number one. If you got the Ruach, HaKodesh, if you got the Ruach and if you got the Pneuma inside of you, you will not be in haste. Now, I always wondered, mundane, right? Cool, calm, and collected. Now, I used to be like that, and then something happened. I got a desire. Now, notice how you got set up. Well, let me tell you how I got set up. Okay? I had everything that I need for life and godliness. God gave it to me when I was born. But then I was driving along, and then I had lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the cares of this world. So the lust of the flesh, okay, I got a wife, but hey, I saw Susie Q at the gym. Man, she was banging. And I see, and I'm like, I got a wife, but you know what? You know, hey, the lust of the flesh. Now, God has given me everything that I need for life and godliness. I already got it. But, hey, you know what I'm saying? I want Jim Bob's wife, even though I already got one. Desire. But then I'm chugging along, and then I have this thing called, you know, the cares of this world. So now I'm supposed to be caring about kingdom stuff because I'm a kingdom kid. I'm here on a kingdom mission. I'm here on a spirit. See, because I got something inside of me. I got the Father inside of me. I'm supposed to be about the Father's business because Jesus said, I'm not here to do my will. I'm here to do the will of my Father. Now, the Father was not interested in getting no damn convertible Lamborghini. But me, you know what? The cares of this world. Now, Jesus says, don't worry about what you shall eat or what you shall drink. He said, don't worry about what you shall wear, but see what, you know, I wanted nice clothes. In fact, when I remember I got my 10 suits, tailor-made, had my name written in gloves, I felt pretty good about myself. Tailor-made. Fit me like a glove. Cares of this world. See, I got caught up in the cares of the world because, see, I had everything that I needed for life and godliness. I had a sound mind. See, God gave me that. But my mind became unsound. It became unstable because I put another pole in there. I already had one. I had one vision, but I put another vision. Now I had God vision. I had two visions. That creates division. So now I want to go talk to a therapist who can tell me shit I already know. Now there's nothing wrong with that, but I need you to understand the big picture. What's the big picture, brothers and sisters? The big picture is the fact that when you do stuff in haste, that's the indication that you don't have this. And then it says in verse 17, and it says, and I will make justice the line. Now, I like to talk to people who are on life path number nine because they have this in, they have this, they have a sense of royalty. They have a sense of justice. See, justice, it is the line. In other words, there is a line. That's the way that you carry yourself, that you're supposed to operate or vibrate in. Justice is that line. Justice. You should carry yourself that way. That's how you know you got the Ruach and the Pneuma. Now, there's different ways that you can debate. Some people believe you got to carry for the Holy Spirit. Some people you got to lay hands on it. Now, what you believe personally for is like how you get the Holy Spirit, that's up to you and your God. All I know is yet you need it bad. Because, again, you can't. You don't have power without the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that gives you power. Because remember, the Spirit came upon him. Remember Samson? He was walking around. And then back in the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon Samson. He said, pick up that jawbone. He took the jawbone, slew 1,000 Philistines. Then he said the Spirit left him. He put the jawbone down. Remember David? Remember Absalom? David slew Goliath. In the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon, and then they left. So it was given when needed. But the New Testament, you got the Spirit without measure. You got unlimited power. Dunamis power. So you got to receive the Spirit. But you receive the Spirit through the Son. Now, this is called the ABCs. So maybe you haven't done this, but if you haven't done this, you need to do this today. So if you have an A, accept, B, believe, C, confess. Now, let me make sure you understand, because if people get this twisted, because they say, hey, that's easy believism, brother. It's easy believism when you don't understand what I'm saying. So what are you saying, brother? Well, I'm saying this. Isaiah 28, verse 17 says that, hey, you don't live your life like I do. Balls to the wall if you got the Ruach. Because when you got the Ruach, you let go of the other pole. See, I got two poles. I got my godly heritage that was passed down to me. It's inside of my cells. It is the foundation of Zion. It's the cornerstone. It allows me to be calm. It allows me to walk a line of justice. And, verse 17, righteousness is that plumb line. It puts me in righteousness, means right standing. It allows me to stand in my pole, in my position, and not be, oh, what was the other one? Okay, we did the lust of the flesh. We did the cares of this world. What's the last one? Pride of life. See, if you're standing in the right place, you ain't got no pride, because guess who put you in that place? You know righteousness? Nowhere in the Bible can righteousness can be given. Nobody has righteousness to give. Only Yahushua, Jesus Christ. He put you in the right place. So, again, you have it, but pride makes you say, I got my own righteousness. Pride comes before the fall. So if you got haste, if you're not living your life with no moral standard, and if you ain't got your gear clear, if you're not in the right place, if you don't have a plumb line, then it says, hell will sweep you away. You're going to be swept away if you don't have those three things. And you will be overwhelmed. So every time I get bipolar disorder, that means I start acting out. I start acting fast. I don't got no principles, and I'm not standing in my right place. Because remember, I was born with a place. I don't have to go get no place. Place meaning purpose. Now, see, in the ancient building practices, the cornerstone was the principal stone placed at the corner of the building. It was the biggest, the largest, and the most solid. Yahushua is that cornerstone of all creation. It's called, inside of the body, it's called a gluon or a laminin. It's in the shape of a cross. Now, I have this inside of my book. I explain all of this. This unifies the body and holds it together. The same way Jesus Christ unifies all of the religions and holds them together. Because Jesus says, again, that there is neither male nor female. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, but we are all one in Christ. And so it is that understanding, my brothers, what Paul is preaching and talk about. He talked about the two seeds that are far off, and they come together, and they create one new man. See, Jesus Christ, again, is known, especially if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm paraphrasing, but you want to look it up for yourself. He clearly states that you are no longer aliens, but you are fellow citizens, in God's kingdom. You are members of God's household. You are members of a foundation. And Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of that foundation. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. For the sake of time, I just paraphrase it. So, Will, what are you saying, brother? Well, like I've told you guys, like I've been saying for 25 years, I'm a Hebrew 6:1 Negro. Let me wrap all this up by saying this. What the devil did to you, to me, and everybody else is the greatest con job ever. You got to remember, he was the anointed cherub that covered. So he's hovering. He's God's bodybuilder or bodyguard. And he's looking over the Father's shoulder, and he sees the Father's plans. He sees the Father has a plan for humanity. But he has a thought. Now remember, you fell the same way Lucifer failed. Lucifer said in his heart, he didn't say nothing in his head. This is where it always starts. This is what I did. I don't know about you. I had a pole, but then I wanted another pole. I was born with a sense of morality. I didn't have to go get it. I knew right from wrong. Nobody taught me to. I knew right from wrong. And then I had a model in front of me. But then I joined the self-help movement. Then I joined the faith movement, and I established another pole that was different from the one that I got. Now, Lucifer was born. He was the anointed cherub that covered. Then he said in his heart, I want to be like the Most High. That's what I said. I said, hey, well, you know what? I don't want to do this. I don't want to be a preacher. I come from a long line of preachers. I don't want to be a preacher. I want to be a teacher. Because why? Teachers make money. Preachers don't. All the preachers I knew was poor. I didn't want to be no preacher. What's my calling? Now, to be a preacher, you got to be a teacher. And to be a teacher, you got to be a preacher. Both of those go hand in hand. So I was licensed and ordained for 10 years doing my calling. No problem with bipolar. But then I decided, I want another pole. Like Lucifer, I want to be like the Most High. I want to sit on the sides of the north. And the father, the big G, says, hold up, homie, that's my job. And so now Lucifer didn't say that until he had already looked over the father's plans. And he saw the father had a plan for humanity. He was going to bring in himself. He was going to introduce himself into her humanity in the form of his son. The father was going to totally, again, according to Colossians, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Father, touch the minds of your people. Let me make sure you understand the fullness. It's called the pleroma. People ask me all the time, Brother Will, why do you call God the pleroma? Because in the original text, that's what it says. It says the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in who you call Jesus the Christ. You better understand. That's why when they said, Jesus, we tired of hanging out with you, dude. We want to hang out with the Father. What did Jesus tell his disciples? When you have seen me, you've seen the Father, because the Father is in me. That's what I believe. See, the fullness of the Godhead, brothers and sisters. Now, you can slice it and dice it all you want. You know, you can argue and you can debate and you can split hairs. You can do all that stuff. I already did it. I welcome you to go down that road. And when you get finished, you will come back. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, you need to really understand that Greek word, Godhead, because it is theotimes. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, that is what is called Christ as the God-man. That's why Jesus Christ is the most debated topic in history and will always be. So you say, well, Brother Will, what do you believe? Do you believe Jesus Christ came in the flesh, walked the earth, and did all of this stuff as a traditional Christian believe? Do you believe that, brother? Sure, sure. Well, do you believe, well, what happened to his grave? What about all this? What else? Do you believe that? Sure. See, I'm not caught up in semantics. All I know is the same thing that is happening outside of my body is happening inside of my body. And I got biological proof. I got mathematical physics that prove Christ was anointed by God for the very purpose of carrying out God's plan on earth. And if you don't understand that he's the firstborn of all creation, he's the firstborn. That's why there is such a debate. See, God's love is found in his creation. Yahushua is the firstborn from the dead. He's the redeemer. He's the only one that died and took, quote unquote, the keys of death and the grave. That's called a telomere or teatome, which means the fullness of the Godhead. That's why, number one, you have to accept. Number two, you have to believe. Number three, you have to confess. Now, those are the ABCs that everybody learned in elementary school of salvation. What does that mean, Brother Will? That means that we have to understand the principles of the doctrines of Christ before you can read it. Now, let me make sure you understand something. When we leave something in Hebrews 6:1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. That's what we just did. With that, again, you got to accept. Accept what? You got dead works. Now, when you do that, you got to do that again. Then it says, and faith toward God. I'm a Hebrews 6:1 Negro. Saying it for 25 years, most people don't understand what that means. So let me make sure you understand. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. So in order to leave a principle, you got to have it. So if you ain't got the principles of Christ, of the doctrine of Christ, not of Christ, of the doctrine of Christ, how the hell are you going to leave it? What are you leaving it for? Let me make sure, because the Bible says in down forth, it is impossible for those who was once enlightened. So enlightenment comes from the doctrine of Christ. It says in Hebrews 6:4, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, it's impossible if they leave. So let me make sure you understand what I just said. Enlightenment, your heavenly gift, receiving the Holy Ghost, all is the principles of the doctrine of Christ. So you cannot, again, over, under, and understand none of the stuff I talk about unless you first understand that. Why do you think I have not joined no cult? This is the bottom line. I've been to seances. I've been to blood orgies. I've been to Wicca movement. I've hung out with witches. I talked to card-carrying witches who put spells on me, who visit me in my sleep. And none of that affects me. You might want to know why. Because, see, I paid my dues. And if you ain't paid yours, you might want to go back to the basics of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because if you don't got the basics, see, I was raised with the basics. And then I spent 10 years ordained and teaching the basics. So I spent a good 40 years in the basics before I went to the basics. And I got a lot of people who joined in me, and they spent 1 year in the basics, and they think they know something about Jesus Christ and him crucified. So you may have to, again, return back to the basics. Because maybe you don't understand the theomates, the fullness of the gospel of Christ. So let me make sure that you understand the ABCs of the doctrine of Christ. Because if you don't have this, this is why demons and devils are walking through you. Now, people tell me all the time, well, hey, Brother Will, let me make sure you understand. Nothing can affect you unless you leave home. No devil, no demon. You, remember, Your protection is inside, your anointing is inside of your position. The devil has no power over you until you leave home. Father, touch the mouth of your people. Every time I go into anything, it's because I'm led astray by the lust of my own flesh, by the pride of life, by the cares of this world. If I don't go outside, the devil can't come inside. You see, my brothers and sisters, the doctrine of Christ, it is the doctrine of understanding, again, the humanity and the divinity of this character that we call Christ. It is the understanding the work of Christ. What is the work of Christ? His death, his burial, and his resurrection. If you need to tell me, if you don't got those, if you don't understand the death, burial, and resurrection, because I don't teach the basic doctrines of Christ, doesn't mean I don't know them. And so the mistake that I made is I assume a lot of people who come into my teachings, they have, they understand the doctrines of Christ, that they understand the doctrine of baptism, that they understand the doctrine of election, that they understand the doctrine of death, burial, and resurrection, that they understand, again, the doctrine of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that they understand the doctrine of receiving the Holy Ghost, the doctrine of, again, baptism by water, or baptism by fire in Jesus' name. I assume that people know that, but a lot of people don't. And if you don't know that, then you don't have the basics of the doctrine, so you can't leave. You cannot go on to perfection until you master the basics. Now, there are a lot of preachers who teach the basics. I'm just not one of those preachers. I was not called to teach the basics, but that don't mean I don't know the basics. How the hell I go to teach the advanced stuff unless I've mastered the basic stuff? Now, there's one mistake that I've made, that a lot of people made, that teach the advanced stuff. We get arrogant. We get cocky. We get to a place where we belittle. We look down on mundane. That's what I've been doing for 8 years. See, pride comes before the fall. Pride can only come, pride is the result of superiority. Pride is the result of excellence. Pride is the result of knowledge. Now, remember, the Bible says knowledge puffs up, love builds up. See, I got knowledge and I forgot to get love. I remember meeting my wife and I said, you know, I didn't say this verbally, but I said this, I had a choice, okay, do I want to build my business or love my wife? That's the options that I had. Now, let me make sure you understand how the enemy works. He always gets you, or tries to get you to choose between two poles. That way you can be bipolar. Everybody's bipolar, but most people don't know they're bipolar. I just embrace it and understand it and mastered it. But every once in a while, again, I need to slap upside the head because I forget it. Well, what do you forget, Brother Will? I got an entire book, audio book, that explains this process. It's called Trust. Now, if you don't do, there's a lot of stuff I talk about. What time we got? Oh, man, I'm past time. Let me close with this. Brothers and sisters, knowledge puffs up. That's what the Bible says. With an increase of knowledge comes an increase of sorrow. The Bible says also with the writing of many books comes the weariness or the wearing down of the body. That's in the book of Ecclesiastes. Again, I've got all these scriptures memorized, but you guys might want to look them up. With the writing of many books comes the weariness of the body. With an increase of knowledge comes an increase of sorrow. Why is that? What is it? Because knowledge puffs up. So what is it about knowledge that puffs up? Knowledge is gnosis. Gnosis is nous. Nous is mind. So when you are getting knowledge, you are increasing your brain cells. And then you hang around with people who you assume have less brain cells than you do. And then that is the kiss of death. Because the kiss of death is this. You look down on your fellow man, and you think you're better than them because you can quote a couple of scriptures. You drive a better car. Or you live in a bigger house. You see, brothers and sisters, knowledge is very dangerous. Unless it's peppered with love. Love builds. Knowledge puffs. If you got a bunch of knowledge, it's okay to step on somebody to get to the top. you're justifying your behavior with your knowledge. See, people who are intelligent like me, we can talk our way into and out of anything. Because why? We can talk so much that we believe by our own shizness. Knowledge. Knowledge will puff your head up and think you are more than you are. But the way that you keep your feet on the ground is love. What is love? Trust and humility. Now, it's a lot more things besides that, but those are the two cornerstones, because that's what Yahushua in him, that's what he had. Trust and humility. He had trust in the Father, and he had humility in himself. Now, trust and humility are very important things, because humility is the key to leadership. Because pride is the opposite of humility. So humility, again, is the ability to understand and to put total, again, alliance in your flesh. Now, that is really important, because humility prevents you from stepping on other people with your knowledge. Because humility is a modest view, mundane. It's humbleness. See, humility is a state, a constant mental disposition of humilis in the Greek, which means low. It's a person who remember where he started from. See, I forgot that I'm a descendant of William Branch, who was a slave that built a church that wanted to house God's people. And I'm here, descendant of a slave, and I'm building temples to house the Shekinah glory of God. I'm a descendant. I was named after my great-great-great-grandfather, who was a slave that built a wooden church to teach the word of Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's who I am. I ain't no millionaire. I am not no master teacher. I'm not no fancy this or fancy that. I'm just a country boy from Forest, Texas that got a message. And that message is, before you go on to this great master teacher advanced teachings, you better make sure that you have the chief cornerstone. Because when you get to the higher level, they're going to tell you Jesus and Lucifer are the same. They're going to provide you proof. They're going to show you names. They're going to give you some stuff that's going to challenge. Because the Bible says even the elect. And if you don't understand biology, if you don't understand theology, if you don't understand histology, if you don't understand chemistry, and if you don't understand that there's one molecule, not two, if you don't understand that there's one musical note, not two, and if you don't understand that there is one God, not two, you don't understand that, you're going to buy what they're selling at the camp in Freemasonry. You're going to buy what they're selling at Skull and Crossbones. You're going to buy what they're selling at the Dynamic Order of the Golden Dawn. You're going to buy what they're selling over at the Wicca movement. When you become a Wiccan, you're going to buy it. You're going to buy astro theology. You're going to buy Sufism. You're going to buy freaking Carinolism. You're going to buy it. Because when they brought it to me, it looked good. All of the dots lined it up. But the Bible says that God's people hear his voice and they follow him. And there's a voice deep down in your knower that says, yeah, I cannot abandon the faith of my ancestors and my father, because he has not written his laws on tablets of stone any longer. He's written his laws on the heart and the minds of his people. And inside of your DNA, there is something inside of your mitochondria, which is inside of your cells, that was passed down to you. That is the DNA of your mother that has a code in it. It's called the codex. That is the original neutrino that the sun is activating, that was placed inside of you from the Pater. They call it the Big Bang. So when the Father says, let, neutrinos were released. And it took them this long to travel through time to get here to Earth. And the sun is releasing them, and they're activating your DNA. I got some scientific proof along with some scriptures to go with it. So, brothers and sisters, to master the mundane, what you think is old, what you think is boring, is actually the foundation, and it is the foundational stone. So the key to your success is less is more. The key to your success is trust and humility. We broke down the word trust, the word humility, which means don't overemphasize yourself. It means don't view yourself as of too important, humble. It's a state, it's a mental disposition of lowliness. Jesus hung out with prostitutes. He hung out with pimps. He hung out with the, see me, I can't hang out with people that are less than me. I'm Master Teacher 33. That's how you know how you lost your way, when you forget where you came from. Humility. And next, trust. Trust is a firm belief. Trust is a confidence. Trust is a certainty. Trust is an assurance. Trust is a conviction. Trust is a reliance on the foundation. So before you can leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ, you might want to know the principles of the doctrine of Christ. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you. God have the Holy Spirit. You're not the Holy Spirit, you're in trouble. May the Holy Spirit continue to lead you and guide you in all truth. Because the Holy Spirit will call, it will check you the way it checked me and say, hey, you're stepping on people, dude. But hold up, I'm teaching, I'm saving lives, I got this online ministry, man, I'm optimizing people's lives, I'm doing this, yeah. But you're stepping on people, you're disrespecting people. The people that got your back, the people that love you the most, you treat them like trash. Sit your ass down. Return back to the basics. Don't forget where you come from. You're going to disrespect your wife and children while at the same time you call yourself helping other people? That's out of order. I got checked. And if you got the Holy Spirit, you're going to get checked. Because the Holy Spirit will always lead you and guide you into all truth. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams that dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams that dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Yeah.